I'm Gareth Armstrong, and you're listening to a Razor's Edge podcast. We have a number of podcast series available on the Race Corp website that are exceptionally valuable, but I think of all of the conversations that I've had with Alon Reyes, who's sitting across from me here in the studio, the one we're about to have is absolutely, without question, the top of that list, certainly to me anyway. Alon, it's good to be talking to you again, but this time we're talking scale, and a lot of people don't seem to understand scale, certainly the way that you do.
Yeah, scale's become a very topical conversation right now. I read an article this week, in fact, where they said only 1 in 200 businesses in the world has the ability to scale, does scale. And so there's a big industry around scale. A lot of people who want to scale, but very few that do. In the US, 96% of businesses don't exceed $1 million in revenue, which, you know, is actually very low if you think about it. In the largest economy in the world, you have 96% of the businesses in that economy not being able to exceed $1 million in revenue.
Yeah, in other words, just simply not being able to rise. I would imagine in some instances that is a decision, but in many, and to the point of this conversation, that's because they hit a ceiling and they just can't get any higher. They don't know how.
Yeah, and a lot of work's been done in terms of trying to understand why and what actually happens. Vern Harnish, who wrote a book originally called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, and then later it was renamed Scaling Up, has a wonderful graph in that book where he shows that these businesses start and then they grow, they hit the $1 million ceiling, they flatline, and then they go into what he calls the valley of death. And only 3.6% of the businesses that then get through the valley of death move on to getting to the $10 million mark. So it's very rare for an organization to grow. And then from the $10 million to the $50 million, that same pattern repeats itself, and 0.4% of those businesses, or the total number of businesses, get beyond $50 million mark. It's very, very, very few businesses that scale. And it's not for lack of trying in many instances. It's just not having the right formula for scale in place. And we've heard the saying before, what got you here is not the thing that's going to take you there. And that's really a big part of what prevents an organization from scaling. What got them to perhaps $1 million in revenue is certainly not the same formula, methodology, operating system that's going to allow them to grow to $10 million, and certainly not the same operating system that's going to take them to $50 million or $100 million in revenue. And that's really the crux of scale, is being able to, A, change your operating system that allows you to scale, and then overcome the two most critical negative factors of the valley of death.
So as I'm listening to you, what I'm hearing first is that there is a way of thinking about this that is essential. And you've repeated the word a few times, the phrase operating system. And so you actually have to take on an operating system mental approach rather than a let's go out and just transact in the market. So for me, number one, an operating system approach.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, if you're starting a business, it's you, maybe a few people, very personality-driven, relationship-driven, your relationship with your staff, your relationship with your clients, a lot of intimacy involved in your stakeholders, because you can. And everyone knows how everything works. It's quite a small group of people, and Bob is sick. The business can carry on because we all sort of know what Bob does, or we can call Bob and say, you know, where's that thing? As the organization grows, the intimacy declines. The fact that there are more people, it's hard to have intimate relationships with more and more people. And your intimacy also declines with your clients, because the same thing is true there. You can't know all your clients to the same extent. And so you get more and more people to deal with clients, and hopefully they'll have more intimate relationships with clients, and you have managers, and you're hoping that they will have more intimate relationships with the team that work underneath them. But now you're starting to create structure in the business.
And you're doing that because, and I heard you say the word hope, so you're trying to eliminate hope by creating structure, by creating an operating system. Is that a good way of thinking about it?
What I'm actually saying is that the journey to infrastructure becomes quite natural, but unconscious. You're just adding people because you need more capacity or need more intimacy or you need something. You're not thinking about it in a conscious way. Smaller businesses generally grow unconsciously. They grow by need at the time, not by future design. You're not designing for the future. You're designing for the present, what you need right now. You get a big client, it needs to be serviced. I need people to service that client. You're not thinking more broadly than that. Most small organizations don't. So now what happens is that the organization has started to create some sort of organization, but that organization, it feels like a knot. It's filled with people in the wrong positions who are there because of their tenure or because they're the only people who know how that particular thing works. Nothing's been documented. So it's very hard to remove an individual who perhaps is incompetent but has got some knowledge from the organization because the cost of losing them is too high. They might be the linchpin in the organization where if they're removed, the whole organization grinds to a halt because they know how that thing works.
And so I'm wondering right now, if you're listening to this, if you're busy nodding your head because you can see, or perhaps maybe not clearly, but maybe you can sense that this is happening in your business right now.
And it goes further than that. It goes to relationships that you might have certain people that have got relationships with suppliers or relationships with clients. And so they might have the wrong attitude, but because they have got a relationship with your top client, you can't exit this individual because it's going to have a huge impact on your business. So you don't. So you keep these people in the organization. And so what you find is organizations who are 10 to 30, 40 people big.
Even that big?
Yeah, even that big. Have accumulated a lot of people who are there that shouldn't be there. You have accumulated a lot of people who have past knowledge, but not future knowledge. In other words, they served the present, perhaps, if you like, either present and past organization, business, but they will not be able to serve the future organization. They don't have the skill sets, mindset, they don't have the ability to serve an organization that's growing.
So I'm going to jump in here again because sitting here with the mindset of an entrepreneur, I'm thinking, but I want to grow. I've got this bloated organization. You spoke about it as being a knot. I saw spaghetti. Things aren't where they need to be, but I still want to grow. Mm. So what do I do?
Well, first of all, you have to recognize the situation that you're in. Often organizations in this particular dilemma on what they call the intimacy crisis. And the intimacy crisis generally relates to the fact that there are very strong relationships, intimate relationships that you've built with some of the earlier team members who came into the organization, and let's be frank, in many instances, because you could afford them at that time, they might not have had the competency for the future, but they had the competency for whatever you needed at the time. They worked hard, they were loyal to you, and you want to be loyal back to them. But the future organization where you've got an opportunity requires a different skill set. This individual, these individuals don't have those skill sets. So you go out and you're courageous and you employ people with, let's call it, more appropriate skill sets, which generally come at a higher salary. And that becomes a contentious issue because that generally will leak out into the organization. You then start focusing on these individuals because they represent the future. The older employees, the loyal employees, then feel a sense of jealousy or it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, disconnect.
And then create a friction point for you to say, well, you know, this organization's not like it used to be, and now you're in a dilemma because the person who you're loyal to or the people that you're loyal to have generally got the skill set, but it hasn't been transferred into process, into systems. And so if they leave because they're disgruntled now, you're in a dilemma because the whole machine, the whole business relies on their knowledge of how everything works. Because you have not documented, because you've not driven that knowledge into process, you find yourself in a dilemma. So now you can't get rid of the people that you are loyal to for both loyalty reasons and practical reasons. And now you start to frustrate the people who represent the future. They then leave. And what research shows is that when given the choice between the older employees that you're loyal to and the employees that represent the skill sets of the future, we make the fatal mistake of choosing.
We err on the side of loyalty.
Yeah, we err on the side of loyalty. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you describe here is the operating system thinking that we have been speaking about is a movement away from people to process.
I wouldn't go as far as saying move away from people. I would say ensuring that people are supported with process that can be easily transferable to other people. I wouldn't go people versus processes, people and process, but importantly that process is transferable.
And in being transferable, let's get a little bit more granular, because the title of this particular episode is that there are three competencies or sets of competencies that need to be in place in order to be able to scale.
Yes, there are three categories of competencies. There are critical competencies, there are core competencies, and there are scale competencies. The two types of competencies that have the tightest relationship are critical and core competencies. In fact, many entrepreneurs put the two together. Why we separate them is because it's very important that when developing your core competencies, you are not then falsely leaning on what is critical competency. In other words, you don't then go on to develop important core competencies because you've misinterpreted critical competencies as core competencies. Scale competencies, on the other hand, are the oil in the system. Once you develop the scale competencies, they reduce friction as the business scales. They ensure that there isn't time wasted to then develop these particular types of competencies, thus ensuring a smoother journey to scale.
Okay, so what we've heard thus far in the conversation is we understand that as businesses grow, we create these organizations that are by and large built on relationships and need. There's demand, so we have to fill that demand. Capacity, there's demand, and so we have to fill that lack of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're describing here is that if we are to make a shift to a scaling organization, or at least an organization that is more prepared to scale, we need to move away from a demand-based approach to a designed approach. And that isn't, as you have said, moving or shifting from people to process, but rather enabling people through process.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the process that we're talking about, the operating system that we've described, really finds its basis. The fundamentals of it are in critical competencies, core competencies, and then scale competencies.
Mm-hmm.
In the next episode, we're going to start dealing with critical competencies. But let's just cast our minds forward to what an organization using an operating system like this feels like. What does it look like? You know, let's go there and just paint the picture a little bit, please.
The organization that fully embraces these three types of competencies and builds them into their thinking and into their strategy, number one, from a critical competency perspective, it is the rocket fuel for growth. The core competencies deal with differentiation, the scale competencies deal with reducing friction to growth. So one is the fuel, one is the sharp nose of the rocket, and the other is making sure that the outside of your rocket has got the smoothest possible surface to ensure that you have the least possible friction. Imagine entering a new market with a new product with a high level of confidence, as opposed to what might be happening now, where you enter a new market with a new product with, will it work or won't it work?
Yeah, let's just try.
Let's just try and see. Imagine going into a market with a highly defined differentiator that has got authentic differentiation, not just what's on your website with words that you don't really believe and where you've copied what everyone else is saying.
I mean, I can imagine the level of confidence that that would give you. I mean, true differentiation.
And imagine a world where, as you scale, you aren't frustrated by having to go back and fix a whole bunch of things and processes that are now holding you back because you thought about that 5 years ago. And this is real. We see it with Flowcode clients where they've adopted an approach to critical core and scale competencies where in the past they really, really battled like every year to grow. And now they are having what feels to them like an unbelievable rate of growth. And when I say unbelievable, it's a relative term because they couldn't imagine that level of growth with that level of ease by simply doing a few difficult but important changes to how that business operates and how it sees itself in terms of what it needs to build in order to scale.
Now, if that sounds like a proposition that you would like to explore, I invite you as you're listening here to move directly into episode two, because in episode two, we're going to be speaking directly to these competencies, and we're going to be starting with critical competencies. Alon, thank you for taking a moment just to introduce us to this very important topic. And we'll see you in the next Raiser's Edge podcast of this How to Build Your Critical, Core, and Scale Competencies series.